And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half, the most beautiful state in the nation. I say that with all emphasis. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show, we go like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, I just got, as I'm speaking, I just got the confirmation, apologize for saying Parkway a while ago, Terry's Pizza on Bailey Cove, which is, that's my old stomping grounds. I mean, I live just off Bailey Cove.
I mean for you're years. About to have a lot of people show up at the other one.
Well, let's don't do that.
Don't do that, guys.
Terry's Pizza on Bailey Cove for the Wednesday night watch party with me and Dale and Yaffe and Mecca Music. We're going to be there doing a panel. And we need y'all to come on out and see us. And I need to see some of your faces. I mean, I got voices, I got text messages, and there's faces that go with them.
There are.
And handshakes. All right. There you go. Okay. Hey, this is literally my favorite time on the radio every single week. It just is. And we didn't get to do it last week.
We did not.
And we didn't get to do it yesterday on schedule, which upset John from Huntsville.
It did. It upset John from Huntsville.
You are not on.
I'm so sorry.
Hi, McQueen. What's a heck of a thing when daycare says, by the way, you can't come in?
Oh, it really is a thing. And it's really a thing when they let you know at like 6 p.m. the night before.
Wonderful.
Like, that puts a lot of people in a pickle. I wasn't in too much of a pickle. I just
in
couldn't
a pickle.
Do, yeah, I just couldn't do Boomer McQueen. Pickle. But some people, that's like, it's a big deal. Yeah.
We could spend the whole time talking about that.
In
the
meantime, we could. Though, I feel very passionate about this.
This is what we call Boomer and McQueen. All right. You know the deal, guys. I spend a time asking y'all questions. We get your thoughts because you got thoughts. And then we flip the gears and you guys ask me questions. So here's the deal. First question. So Vivek Ramaswamy, he's running for president. To me,
just don't ask me to say that name.
Yeah. All right. First of all, you have to spell it.
Oh, man.
No, you'd be in trouble
I'll
on
say
that
it.
One.
You can spell it.
All right. Vivek Ramaswamy, who I think is coming across as one of the sharper intellects within the entire field. He's running for president of the United States. No political experience. He's only 38 years old. Is he too young? I look at these two 38-year-olds. Is it well, that 38
hey,
year
old. Hey, take that back.
So sorry.
I am now 39, so I'm much wiser.
All right, but is he too young? I mean, you guys picture yourselves suddenly running for president. Is he too young?
Well, me, that's terrifying. I feel like, well, first of all, he's in better condition to run the country than some of the 80 and 90 year old people that are wanting to or have say, first of all. Second of all, if you've lived through the last 3 years, I don't care. It's put like 15 years on you, I think. Like, seriously, it's like through COVID and all this, and if as a leader. So, I mean, yes, it's young, and I think the more life you've experienced to an extent is going to be helpful, but I wouldn't, you know, eliminate him or have that be like my number one reason, you know, or you know, a major concern. Like, I wouldn't want to, that to take away from if he's the best candidate, regardless of age, just like anyone else, if they're 70 years old, if they're the best candidate, you know, for our country and are going to, you know, run this nation and be respected by not just Americans, but by other countries, then absolutely, like, that's not too young. So,
okay,
I think we'll have a lot to see here in the debates.
So you go to the polls, you got the slate of candidates to choose from in the primary. He's on there. You don't find yourself saying, he's too young. I'm not voting for him.
I'm not going to eliminate him because of that. Like, okay. I'm going to go through all, you know, policies and other things before I go, okay. And then if I'm up to, you know, between two and that, I mean, that could be a factor at that point, but
yeah.
I don't initially say he's too young. No.
Boomer.
I would agree.
Okay. Next question.
That's not fair.
I'm
just kidding.
For me, I guess I'm not a young voter anymore, but maybe to a young voter, he may seem too young because you look at all the past presidents being a little bit more seasoned.
Yeah. That's a very diplomatic
a nice
word.
There we go. They look and maybe feel more seasoned to a lot of people because of their life experiences. But being a 39-year-old now, and seeing my past experiences, and I know even some people have had way more experiences that have led them in the direction of being a president or a politician, or, you know, so yeah. That being said, I think exactly what McQueen was saying. If they were all laid out in front of me, I'm not gonna X him out just because of his age.
Okay.
All right. And then. Actually, not to say you're wrong by any means, but I think also some of the younger voters, though, that wouldn't even be a factor because they're so much younger. I think it's going to be to older voters that are going, oh, that guy is half my age
or
whatever.
That makes more sense.
That's probably a point. All right. So
younger voters won't even know.
Before we leave.
Yeah, and then they might have more in common or you know, because his viewpoint as a 38-year-old and what he's gone through, it's going to be different, you know?
Okay. So, go on.
Sorry, and I'll be quiet now.
I was going to jump on another part of it is, okay, there's many 38, 39-year-old I'm talking about business now, right. But Trump was a business owner.
Well, and so was Ramaswamy.
There you go. And when Trump got in office, yeah, he didn't have any political background. But man, look what he did.
Oh yeah, and I think that's an attractive situation right now because there's so many people sick of the establishment, the guys who've been there forever. Mm-hmm. You know, Dianne Feinstein's 90 years old. She gave power of attorney to her daughter because she can't handle her own affairs, but she won't relinquish her seat in the Senate. Mm-hmm. All right, so then let me before I leave that question, let me chase that thread one step further. Is there an optimal age? Like if you were to say, when I picture a president, I would like to see an age of
47 to 52.
Okay.
Wow.
I will not be running for president in your book.
There you go.
I really don't know.
I actually don't have an age.
Okay.
So I would be one of those people that I don't have an age. I want to see what you are all about and what are you going to do for our country?
Okay.
I was kidding.
No, she wasn't.
I was totally kidding. I just threw a 5-year range out.
All right. Next question.
Because Trump does not qualify under that.
Next question. So the biggest song in America right now is Rich Men North of Richmond.
I was Rich hoping Men, you were going to talk about Richmond. This.
Why is it the biggest song in America? So we all know the story. Oliver Anthony. No one's ever heard of this guy before. He comes out of nowhere, has a viral video, and it is taking off. I mean, like, it's the number one most downloaded song in America. It bumped John Rich's Try That in a Small Town out of first place. Why? Jason Aldean. Why? Why is it the number one song in America right now?
Okay, I guess I'll go.
Oh, I'm ready. I went first last time.
Man, if you haven't heard it, you need to go hear it, first of all.
Yes.
But what it is just so relatable, especially to the blue collar workers / the people that are out there working their tails off.
Yeah.
And then seeing what the government is doing on the backside to them.
Yeah.
And this good old boy just sat down with his guitar. He was in a hard place in his life.
Yeah, he was.
And he honestly wrote the song more so as an outlet for himself. And then on top of that, he wrote what was going on in his personal life. And guess what? That's happening. Just like anything else, especially in scripture, you're not the only one going through situations. Mm. And there's a higher power there that's going to be with you no matter what. Sometimes it's better to be in to release those things and tell other people. That's why it is so important to be in a community like a small group or a church so that you are going through certain things with each other. But it's so relatable because people actually heard what he was trying to say.
Yeah, I think I'm going off the cuff. Is that 1 Corinthians 10:13? There is no situation you have gone through that is not common to man. Mm. And that with every temptation, God will provide the means to escape it and the strength to endure it.
Wow.
I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. But you're right. I think that's a big part because it sings to every man.
Absolutely.
It's a very populist tone right now. Mm. Well, your thoughts there, McQueen?
Yeah, I mean, I think I totally agree with that. I think the big thing, like, if people feel heard with that song, I feel like it makes you feel like I feel heard.
Heard.
And it almost
you saying hurt or heard?
Heard. Like okay. H-E-A-R-D. Like, I mean, it quite literally put a voice to, and gave a voice to what people have been feeling and thinking for the last few years.
Okay.
And I think, we've talked about this a lot lately, like just that we're not stupid, you know? Like Americans are not stupid. I mean, the majority are not stupid. And it just like, I don't know, I watched this video yesterday of the song and it shows all these people listening. Like it shows Oliver Anthony playing and it's like on their computers, all these people that are listening and you just see it in their eyes how hard it hits them. It's them listening to it for the first time.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, I was tearing up. It was just watching. It was so heartwarming and like just moving as these people are hearing it and going, yeah. Yeah, like that's what I thought. And it's showing people of all different nationalities and ethnicities and different backgrounds. And everyone is like getting behind this. Like, yeah, like that's exactly what we're going through. What is this new world? Like, it's such a shame. And I think it just who knows? Maybe this will help pull the country together in a lot of the differences that, you know, and the strife and everything that's been going on just through these simple words and truths.
And you're kind of saying it, but I'll use a word you didn't say, but you were kind of saying it this way. It's really bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this is being sung to Republicans. There's some absolutely. In the media trying to portray this as a right-wing ballad. It's not.
Oh, it's absolutely
it's a ballad
not.
Of the working man is
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah,
it really is. And some people may not know this. I actually just read it today, but I didn't read it from a completely correct source, but it looked like Oliver wrote this out. And what it was talking about, he's like, man, I'm just a good old boy that just was trying to get out of a hard place in my life. And I wanted to express my feelings and it just caught on because there's so many more people that are going through the same situation that I'm going. I've been already offered contracts. I don't want to play in a stadium. I don't want 6 buses or a jet. I just wanted to get out of a place in my life and express my feelings.
That's cool.
Well, I think you guys nailed it. I think this is every man's song. Mm-hmm. And I think it's got a message that reaches across party lines and demographic lines and it's resonating for a reason. All right. There's round one of Boomer McQueen. That went fast. Daggone.
It always does. Fast. Oh, are you playing it?
Yeah, buddy.
This makes me cry. It makes me cry, honestly. It's so good.
All right, we'll listen to it. We'll come right back in round two, Boomer McQueen, They Ask Me Questions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. All it is, living in the new world, with an whole soul. These rich men know the rich men, Lord knows it all. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making common sense a superpower here on Right Side Radio. All right, so I am with two of my favorite people, Boomer and McQueen. We call it the Boomer and McQueen segment. Hit it, buddy. Yeah. All right, this is where we flip the script. I spend the first round asking them questions and getting their thoughts and opinions on stuff that matters. And then we turn around and they ask me a question, and I sit back with bated breath wondering where we're going. So who's asking me a question?
I got it.
You got it.
I'm going to jump in there.
Oh, he's too eager.
Oh, man.
He's way too eager.
I'm pretty eager on this one. I saw an article the other day, and it sparked my interest. And so I clicked on it. And what it said, it actually was in Missouri. And some of these Missouri schools are going to a 4-day school week. And then I was like, what is this? And then I looked it up and I saw that nearly 900 school districts are going to a 4-day school week.
Dang.
With that.
Districts, not just schools.
Yeah. So I didn't even know this. And then it also said on the Google, it said that the number rose from 650 districts in 2020. I'm like, I didn't even know there were 4-day, school weeks going on. I knew there
Wait,
were.
It has been going on in that many districts?
That's what it says. And so I can't believe that. So my question to you is, what is going on with these school districts? it does not say in Alabama. So it's not in Alabama, I don't believe.
So let me get this straight.
But there's a lot of questions that revolve around this question.
Okay, that was quite the discourse. So what you're telling me is your question.
There was no drama involved in that whatsoever. Theatrics.
But what I'm hearing you say is, there's like 900 districts around the nation that have converted to a four-day school week?
Four-day school week.
Are they? Let me ask you this, if you know. Are they extending the length of the days, or are they just lopping off 20% of their school year?
So from what I was reading on one of the articles that was the Missouri schools, it didn't say that they were extending the days. It was talking about something about the teachers, because I guess there's a teacher shortage. But I'm like, okay, but they're there to teach for 5 days. So what's going on?
If there's a teacher shortage, they still got to teach the other four days.
Exactly. So it said that they were taking Monday off, and then they were going to be going to school Tuesday through Friday. And
my God.
I know. So,
are they still getting summers off? Or are they kind of?
Yeah, they're still getting
into
summers
year-round
off.
School.
Now, so now some of those I've heard before are looking at like 4 day school weeks, but less time, like less holiday season. Like summer is like almost non-existent. They take like a 10 day off and they come right back.
But that's what really you and quick. I were just talking about. Where's summer? Come on, give us summer back. I mean, I get it. I understand. Like in my head, as a parent, thinking, okay, a full. What they're going to all year round school, it's easier to have the kids in school, blah, 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 blah. But okay. Not really. I mean, they need summer.
Is he asking me a question? What's happening?
He's
I'm on a rant
this.
Right now. But okay, are they going to start pushing this in every state? And if so, what's going to happen with all the parents that actually have to work with their kids?
So here's my thoughts on this. First of all, yeah, that's what
working
I want to know.
Working parents, you mean? Like working parents. Parents. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Working parents, and for that matter, it's not always parents, it's parents, sometimes it's single parent households. What are they doing for that extra day they're not home with their kids? Because, you know, what I don't want to see them do is drive us to be like France with a 4 day work week in reduce the productivity of the nation. What I also don't want to see is them screwing up the family unit even further by requiring that the parents are now going to wind up in order to keep a roof over your heads. We're going to have to, you know, put a child into a daycare that I wouldn't have put you into before. And then you're going to have to pay for daycare. And there's not going to be any supplement to your income. You just got to find a way to pay for it. And, you know, and I just look at this and think, you know, it's problematic. Why are we doing it? What's the point? Maybe somebody can explain it to me in ways that make sense, but I think, and I can tell by your tone too, you don't agree with it.
No,
I do not see this as being a good solution, and I'm betting we're going to find too that there's going to be districts going to 4 day work for school weeks. It's going to be awesome, and then grades are going to be even more in the tank.
Yeah,
right. I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong, and there's so many working parts that it's just not going to. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
I think with just, you know, how hard it is right now to get good working help and work, like people that will, I mean, even just from just simple, easy jobs, not easy, but, you know, just, and people, if you never,
jobs,
yeah,
entry
level,
jobs,
that's
yeah.
what I was going for. Thank you. But if you're not even learning like how to have like, I mean, those commitments and in elementary school, in middle school, in high school, like 5 days, working 5 days, putting in 7 or 8, whatever hours in school. If you never even have that foundation, people are never going to hold jobs. You know,
that's true.
Like,
that's a great point. I never thought about what it ingrains in the kids. I was just thinking about what's happening with the parents. But you're right. The kids see that as, why don't I get a 3 day week in my whole life?
Yeah.
Because life is not like that.
Yep. I think those are just such valuable lessons. And then that unstructured time, too, I think is just, especially when you get older, kids just get into trouble. Or you have your iPad or TV that's teaching the kid.
I would not have been the right one to give a third day to for time off.
I'm sure there's a lot of small young whippersnappers that don't need that third day off.
Hey, with maybe a minute left, what do we got? Do we have a stupid story of the week?
We got about 10 seconds left.
Well, dadgum.
Oh.
All right.
Well, I did see that in Tennessee they had to, like, pause football practice because there was a bear on the field.
That's not stupid. That's just scary.
But we only had 10 seconds. I was just sharing a story, and this happened
in
Tennessee.
Trying to squeeze something in there.
Real quick, yeah.
There's a bear on the field. That's
in the middle of practice.
That's just...
There's a bar. War.
Watch out for that bear.
All right. Love you both. Appreciate you. That's Boomer and McQueen. They got opinions. They're not afraid to share them. I like it. All right, folks. Coming right back, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. We're going to get down on some issues related to gambling in the state of Alabama. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.